I'm glad I don't have your name on a test, Ron.
No, my name is Polish, D-Z-W-O-N-K, yeah. And that's the Polish word. It comes from the Polish word for bell. So my wife always says she married a ding-a-ling.
Well, Brittany phonetically gave me all the information I need, and I still messed it up. What would we do without our significant others? I have no idea. You wrote an interesting a column recently on titled Film Tax Credit Lifts Small Business. It excites imaginations. And I found it interesting because several times we've had Michigan State Senator on, Nancy Cassis.
Yep, she's my state senator, in fact.
And folks from the Mackinac Center on Public Policy, and they disagree with that take. They think it's a waste of money, that it's not generating as much revenue as it was supposed to. And as a matter of fact, people are pocketing money because of these tax credits. I want to get your take on that.
Well, there have been some problems. I acknowledge that. There have been some problems with people who have taken unfair and maybe in some cases illegal advantage of the tax credits. But the point of the column that I wrote was to look at the intent of the legislation. And the intent of this legislation, and Senator Cassis was the only member of the legislature to vote against it. And as you know, up in Lansing, there's not a lot of things that get that kind of bite.
Indeed.
It passed the House and Senate with only one negative vote. And the intent of the legislation was threefold. It was to create instant jobs, it was to sow the seeds for a new industry in Michigan, and it was to give our young people more of a reason to stay in Michigan. And on that score, and understand it's only really been in effect for about 2 years, I would say the legislation is succeeding. Immediate jobs have been created. Now, granted, in the movie business, all work is temporary. But there are studios being built in Allen Park and Grand Rapids. Our colleges and universities are beginning to offer courses now that will get people prepared for careers in the industry. More and more local talent is finding its way into the films. And it'll take a while, I think, for Hollywood to get comfortable using more Michigan talent. And I don't just mean on screen, but I mean in the production processes. And also, the movie business is something that uses a lot of cutting-edge technology. If you've been to see the 3D versions of Avatar or any of these other movies, this is cutting-edge stuff that often starts in the film business and then gets into broader commercial applications. And that's the kind of thing that our bright young minds are into. It's a very entrepreneurial business. You raise money for film projects. So I think on those three scores, it is a success. Now, has it made money? No, but that's never was the intent of the legislature. This, I hope, will be a long-term investment for the state of Michigan, and I'd like to see us really put some concrete pillars down for this industry and make it the Hollywood of the Middle West.
Well, isn't it interesting? Many movies need inner cities, if you will, downtowns for parts in their movies. And I can recall efforts by New York City and Chicago to try to become the Hollywood, if you will, of their regions. And it looks like Detroit is really laying down not only the infrastructure, but the workforce. Because here at Lansing Community College, there are classes that you can take that will help you in this industry.
And Community College over in Grand Rapids also has a film. Wayne State University has done special, like, one day, here's what you can learn, here are your possibilities. So, we're growing the workforce that they need, and in an ideal situation, these movie makers right now are bringing most of their talent with them, and in a better situation for us, they will bring their projects to Michigan, and they will make use of local talent. But that's not going to happen overnight, and what I'm really worried about is with the state looking at $1.2 billion or so, that whenever the next governor takes office, is that this is going to look like low-hanging fruit, and it's going to be something they're going to want to cut. And I think rather than looking at it as low-hanging fruit, they ought to look at it as seeds that have been planted to grow a new industry here, just like they planted seeds to grow the auto industry here 120 years ago.
Well, it looks like we need to do the same thing with business here in the state of Michigan, Ron. If you look at all the different resources, Michigan is if not the worst, one of the worst places for business, not only to attract new business, but to keep business here. We don't have favorable tax incentives. The rules and regulations are a challenge. You would think that maybe they could see the genesis for the plan for the movie business and perhaps mirror that with a plan for business, because from Mark Meadows, who's a state representative, from his eyes, our economic challenge is going to take a generation, 10 to 20 years to correct, and maybe long-term planning and planting of seeds is what we need.
Long-term planning and state government have been an oxymoron for far too long, so I think this is part of that long-term planning, and I agree with you that it's an interesting strategy. You look for emerging sectors, you look for growth areas, and you tailor legislation to attract them and make it, in the case of the movies, just about irresistible to not come to Michigan. And, you know, you mentioned Detroit as a set. I had a movie producer recently tell me that in the state of Michigan, because of our varied landscape and geography and urban settings and rural settings, he said, I can shoot anything. I can make this state any place in the world except exterior Las Vegas. That's completely unique. But everything else I can do here. And I can tell you that just recently they were filming a Richard Gere movie. I think it's called The Double in downtown Detroit. And they turned the Free Press Detroit News parking garage, a nine-story parking structure, they turned it into a Russian hospital for a scene in the movie. Interesting. In fact, our parking garage may be nicer than most hospitals. But so the possibilities here are unlimited. And I like this model idea where you find, you know, emerging sectors, growth areas in the economy, and then you just do, you know, whatever it takes almost, because Michigan's in that kind of shape. Do whatever it takes to get them here, get the growth here.
Ron, before we let you go, I wonder if you could put a value on all the publicity that Detroit 187, the new TV show, which has just started last week, as a matter of fact. There has been such a PR push in all the newspapers, on TV, and throughout the media, wherever you look. And I know there's been a concern down in Detroit whether it's going to make the city look bad. But from what I understand, their aim is to show that these Detroit police do a great job and they are very competent. And when you look at all the PR that's generated, do you think that's a plus or a negative for Detroit?
I think it's a huge plus. It shows it showed a lot of caring and capable people in Detroit. And, yeah, it didn't hide the rough spots in Detroit. It also showed a city with real gritty character. And let me just tell you something. There's a New York City not too long ago, and there's a little nothing hole-in-the-wall cafe called Serendipity up on the Upper West Side. And because there was a movie of the same name, and I think it was sort of a chick flick love story, I didn't see it, but one of my daughters saw it, and she said, I'd like to go see where they made that movie. So we went up to the Upper West Side, and this little hole-in-the-wall place called Serendipity, the line was out the door and around the block. The gift shop was doing an incredible business, and that's the kind of power that movie exposure can bring to places. It makes people want to go there, and I wouldn't be surprised if traffic at the Coney Island in downtown Detroit is doubled in the next year or so if this show stays on the air, because those cops sure seem to like conies.
Ron Swankowski is an associate editor for the Detroit Free Press, and you can catch his columns at freep.com. By the way, Ron, what's an associate editor? Aren't you an editor?
I'm an editor. I'm in a sort of a hybrid position. You know, we've had a number of staff cutbacks at the Free Press, like everybody else in Michigan. And I'm in a sort of hybrid position where I continue to write a column that appears once a week in the print edition on Sundays, and of course, for the online website at freep.com. But I also edit. I'm the editor for seven other columnists at the paper, which, believe me, is a lot like herding cats.
When you do that work, do you follow up on their research? Do you make phone calls? Do you send emails just to make sure that the information that they're putting in your newspaper is accurate and correct?
No, the responsibility of the editor is to make sure that the reporter, or in this case the columnist, can answer all the questions that I would raise. So my role is to send them back and say, let's double check this. Are we sure this is right?
All right. The final ruler.
All right, the readers are the final rulers.
All right, Ron, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Always good to talk to you, Tony. Bye-bye. Yeah.